Light of the world, open our ears and our hearts as we read your word. From Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, will not be least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be a shepherd for my people Israel." When Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared, then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return.
When our grandchildren were with us over the Christmas holiday, Pearl had her 8th birthday. And so, you know, in deciding who you're going to invite to an 8th birthday is a very important decision. So before, while they were still down in Seattle, we talked to her on the phone and said, "Who do you want to invite to your birthday party?" And she said she wanted to invite all of Haynes. Well, we pared it down a little bit for her. And we had a much smaller celebration than I think she initially anticipated. But it was still a wonderful time. But this story that Shannon just read reminded me, as I was thinking about that birthday party just before Christmas, that God invited these magi to the birth of Christ. The other ones who were invited, we learn from Luke, the other people who were invited were the shepherds around Bethlehem. Now, there's a few things in this story that we sometimes need a little clarification on. Matthew, as he is writing, he makes it pretty clear that the wise men, or these magi, were not there on the actual night of Jesus' birth, like the shepherds were. Matthew calls Jesus a child, not a baby. And as we'll learn next week, the time frame, he could have been as a year or even 2 years old by the time they arrived. Some other things that need to be clarified about some of this story. It certainly is nice as we look at our Christmas cards to see the bright shining star and things. But the Magi say they went to Jerusalem. The star did not lead them to Bethlehem. They said that they saw this star when it rose in the east, and somehow through their astrology they figured there was a new king that had been born, King of the Jews. And so they went to Jerusalem because they knew that's where King Herod was. And they went to his palace and they said, "Where is this new king of the Jews who's been born?" Thinking, of course, that King Herod had had a new son born into his household. And that's why they went there. And when they said this to Herod, he was very upset. Did you notice that in the text? He was greatly disturbed. Why? Because he knew he didn't have a new baby boy. Okay? He knew it was the Messiah who is a threat to him and his reign. And when he became upset, it says that all the people in Jerusalem were also upset. It's kind of like a sign we have in the basement of our house. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? Isn't that right? Herod was upset by this news that the Messiah, that some foreigners, some outsiders had noticed that the stars told them that the Messiah has been born. They didn't know it was the Messiah. They thought it was a new king, a young prince that was born. And they came, and he knew it was a threat to him. The other thing that we need to pay a little bit of attention to, we see, you know, in our Christmas cards, we have this bright, shining star that the whole world saw. Probably not. They came to Jerusalem and told, we saw this star as it rose. And everybody was greatly disturbed when they heard this news. They didn't see the star. They were shocked by this news. And then the star reappears after they leave Jerusalem. After they're told to go to Bethlehem, the star reappears, and they are overjoyed because they know this is another sign from God. They know they're on the right path now, and now this miraculous star leads them to the actual place in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is only about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem. And so probably no one else saw that or noticed this star. Maybe it was insignificant, but somehow that was God's invitation to these magi. Magi were people who studied the stars and things of that nature. They're from the east, maybe from Babylon, we don't know. But the Old Testament, over and over again, condemns people who rely on astrology to try and learn events, and particularly if you look at, if you have some time this afternoon, read through Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47 is a condemnation. God working through the prophet Isaiah is condemning Babylon and saying, you're going to be destroyed. And in part, you rely on magicians, sorcery, and these astrologers who are looking for the stars. And they can't help you at all because they're basically, it's all false. It's all made up. And Isaiah is pretty tough on these astrologers, these kind of magi. They're condemned in the Old Testament. And they're not supposed to, the Israelites are told, don't rely on astrology. And so, if you will, these astrologers, these magi who are called by God and invited to come and see Christ, they are worshiping the stars. These are idols to them. And sometimes in the church, we're a little bit concerned and almost embarrassed. Why would God use an idolatrous object like the stars to notify these men and to bring them to see Christ? Kind of seems ironic, doesn't it? It kind of seems wrong. Why would God use an idol to actually send the message of Christ? Well, one of the things that this teaches us is there's really two different kinds of, and theologians talk about the revelation that God gives us. There's two kinds. Now, anybody think they're a theologian in here? Anybody besides me? Well, I have news for you. If you ever think and study about God, you are a theologian. So all of your hands should be up right now, okay? The question is, are you going to be a good theologian or a bad theologian? So today we want to be good theologians, okay? So we need to think right about God. So theologians, you know, and scholars and whatnot, they talk about there are two different kinds of the revelation that God gives us. Revelation means how God discloses him to how he discloses himself to us. The first kind is called general revelation. And when we look out on these majestic mountains on a bluebird day with the sun shining down on them, and we see the majesty of God just surrounding us in nature, that is a general revelation. God shows everybody who he is and how majestic he is by the beauty of this place he's given us and by other things. That's general revelation. But then we have special revelation, which is God's Word, the Bible. And I want you to notice in this story of the Magi, God uses both forms of revelation for the Magi. He first notifies them generally through this star. And we don't know what it was, but somehow is a miraculous star that they saw and paid attention to. He got their attention. And it sent them, and they went to Jerusalem. But they didn't find Jesus in Jerusalem. General revelation by itself is insufficient. And in Jerusalem, they hear the word of God. They ask Herod, "We're here to worship," basically they think, "your new baby boy." And Herod says, "I don't got one." He's upset. And so he calls in the priests and the teachers of the law, who the religious experts. He says, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And notice that the experts quote Scripture. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They quote Scripture, and the Scripture is what sends the Magi, the special revelation. God's self-disclosure through the prophets is what sends the Magi down to Bethlehem. So when we think about this idolatrous star, that was the way God first got their attention, but then they needed to hear the word of God also in order to find the Christ child. They need both, and we're the same. We can look out on this beauty of nature and recognize, man, there's some mighty being or mighty force made this, and it might start us on our quest for God, but we have to have this book. We have to have the Bible to tell us the truth about God, because this is what God has given us to tell us about himself. And this is the way we have our encounter with Jesus and get to know who Jesus is through the words of this book. And God also sometimes uses the idolatries that we still have in our own life to somehow call us and turn us back to them, back to Him. Think about situations that you, maybe in your own life or in people that you know. Some people have the joy of being raised in a Christian family and knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior from the time of their earliest memories. Others don't have that benefit, and they have a conversion later on in life, and usually it's through some sort of a conflict or some tragedy or something that involves some of the things that we in our society view as idolatrous today. What are the idols that we follow after generally in our culture? What are they? What?
Celebrities,
fame and power, right? Okay. What else?
Money.
What else?
Comfort.
What other things?
Beauty.
Security. All of these things are false gods, aren't they? And they're ultimately going to let us down. And sometimes in the midst of when they let us down, that's when God uses those circumstances in lives to draw us back to Him. So we shouldn't be too hard on these Magi for using their idolatrous star. It leads them ultimately to God. And sometimes, I'm not encouraging you to go after and start worshiping all your idols. But we all have them, right? But sometimes God even uses the bad things in our lives to turn us around and draw us to Him. So, the Magi, they're first called by their own studies. They think that we call them the wise men. They were wise in their own eyes. They really didn't become wise until they listened to the words of the prophets. Then they became even wiser when they acted on that, and then they went and saw and worshiped Christ. That's when they truly became wise. And the other thing that happened, God called them, and they responded. And think about this. They were pagans. They were Gentiles. They were outsiders. They didn't have God's word. And what we have to be very careful about here is that the people in Jerusalem, particularly these religious leaders, the heads there, Herod, they had God's word. They heard from these foreigners that the Messiah had come. And they also received an invitation to the birthday party, if you will. But they chose not to go. The foreigners, the outsiders, the Gentiles, the pagans, the ones who worship the stars, they're the ones who responded to the word of God and actually went to Bethlehem. And the religious leaders who could quote the Bible and did quote the Bible, they didn't go. Now, what does that tell us? If we look at the situation today, this story is about we're just coming through Advent, and Epiphany was 2 days ago, as the puppets taught us. And the Epiphany, obviously we don't know the day that the Magi actually arrived and worshipped Christ, but we've set aside January 6th each year as the day where we celebrate their arrival. What this tells us is the ones who they were invited by God through this star and they acted on it. But the others who were also invited, when they quoted this to them, they could quote the scripture, they didn't go. So for us, we're sort of like the religious experts, aren't we? We have our Bible. We have the word of God. Are we going to act and go to Christ as it tells us? Or are we content just to quote our Bible and not act on what God is calling us to do? It happens to all of us. We think we know our Bible. There's certain things we like. There's other things that we sometimes tend to ignore. And God wants us to respond to all of it and to act on his behalf and to approach Christ in a worshipful manner. And he calls on us all the time to do that. What about us? Do we do that? Do we hear God's call on our life and sometimes have other things to do? Do we hear God's call on our life through scripture or through events, and we say, well, I'll send somebody else, and after you find Jesus, come back and tell me about it? Kind of like, we know, of course, Herod was not a nice guy, and he wasn't really intending to be told about it. He had other evil motives in mind. But do we sometimes act that way? Oh, let's give a little money to this missionary and let them go off and do the work, and I'll stay here comfortably at home. Happens to all of us, doesn't it? God calls us all to act. He calls us all to have an encounter with Jesus. And why does he do that? Why does he call these outsiders, these pagans, these Gentiles? Why doesn't he send these religious leaders? Why doesn't he force them to go down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem? We see, what God does is he calls all of us. He doesn't want anyone not to respond. He calls us, but he doesn't force us. He calls on us, and he calls on us in his love and his mercy. Just like we recognize these Magi were evil, they were worshiping the stars, they were outside of God's love, but he called them and they responded in faith. And they were rewarded when they had an encounter with the living Christ and they worshiped him. We are all called as well, and we have to respond in faith. God calls all and offers them either through general revelation, special revelation. He issues his invitation to have a relationship with him. He calls us and invites us, but we have to act and have to act and respond in faith. He issues his call in love and mercy, but some choose to ignore it. What about you today? Are you going to respond afresh in your life and commit yourself to Christ anew? Sometimes we think, oh, well, I did that 34 years ago, and I remember the time and circumstance. We can give our testimony. God calls on you every day. And he wants you to respond in faith every day and to approach Christ in worship and adoration every day as he wants you to be his hands and feet responding to the needs of this world. Are you content to hear the word and sit comfortably where you are? Or are you going to respond and go seek Christ wherever he is calling you to be? That's the question for all of us. In this story, we learn, kind of like the birthday party, that the invitation that Pearl wanted to send out to the whole town of Haines. Maybe we should have sent an engraved invitation to Queen Elizabeth. You think she'd show up? No. Okay? But she wanted us to send out an invitation to all of Haines. Well, we pared down her list, and those who came, I think they had a wonderful time. But receiving the invitation is not sufficient. God sends his invitation to us. It's our job to respond and come to the party. And that's where we have the encounter with the living Christ. God wants you to be a part of his family. One of the things that we see in this passage, God calls these outsiders and they become part of the family. It reminded me of the words of the prophet Hosea in the second chapter of Hosea. He speaks and is saying that the Lord says, I will show my love to the one I have called not my loved one. I will say to those who are called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. God reached out to these pagan Gentiles, the ones he had not loved, the ones who were not part of the people of God. Those were the Jewish people in Jerusalem. He reached out to them and he said, you are my people, and they said, you are my God. That's what God wants for all of us. He extends the invitation to all. It's our job to respond in faith and to answer his offer of love and love him back. My invitation to you today is to recommit yourself each and every day, answer God's call on your life and say, yes, Lord, in faith, here I am, use me. Amen.